VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America for a very, very important topic. Ladies and gentlemen, tyranny has been defined as an arbitrary or unrestrained exercise of power, a despotic abuse of authority, an undue severity or harshness, an oppressive or unjustly severe government on the part of any ruler. This is a word that's been used to describe the actions of various political leaders and so-called health experts in federal, state, and local governments, as well as of world leaders. Today, we invite you to listen intensely as we share information with you. Some of the information is going to be shocking. Some is rather alarming, but it's critical for you to know and to be aware of what's happening because it's impacting issues like our churches, it's impacting our freedoms, it's impacting the economy and personal property. Coupled with all of this is surveillance, censorship, and a whole lot more. Joining us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Alex Newman. He's an international freelance journalist, author, educator, and consultant. His articles appear frequently in The New American. He writes for Freedom Project Media as well. He's the co-author of the book Crimes of the Educators, lead author on a special edition, The New American, Rescuing Our Children as well, which we've interviewed him previous about. Alex, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's always a pleasure, and I really appreciate the opportunity, so thank you.
Well, certainly because the information we have today is so voluminous, it's hard to know where to begin, but we're going to be talking about some of the new tracing legislation that's been introduced, a cryptocurrency system patent that will be shocking to many, what's happening on the vaccination scene, and other matters which we'll be getting into the body of our program. But, Alex, if you would, I'd like you to first provide just an overview of observations you're making on the displays of this tyranny that's been exhibited on so many different fronts.
Yeah, it really has gotten to the point where I think tyranny is the proper word. And you read the definition. I think that was just brilliant, because when you read the definition of tyranny and you compare it to what's going on, it's so clear that that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the arbitrary exercise of power. We're dealing with usurpation of power that is nowhere authorized in our laws, nowhere authorized in our U.S. Constitution or our state constitution. The founders of this nation, they really came from a biblical worldview, and they believed that power should be separated. One of their main goals was to make sure that one person didn't exercise all of this power. And now we see across the United States, it's significantly worse, I think, in Democrat states than it is in Republican states, but we see governors usurping all sorts of powers to tell us who's essential and who's not essential, if and when we can meet together as the body of Christ. And meanwhile, talk about arbitrary, they're allowing abortions to go on, they're allowing marijuana shops to stay open, they're allowing liquor shops to stay open as if this were essential, and yet somehow church is not essential, gun shops are not essential, businesses that they don't like are not essential, Christian bookstores. It really is arbitrary, it's extreme, it's unconstitutional, and it's very, very dangerous, because the precedent that's being established here, mark my words, if we don't push back hard enough, this will establish a precedent, and it will be used in the future to shut down churches, to shut down businesses, to usurp all kinds of draconian new powers. And we were talking a little bit before the show, once you really start digging into this, you see it's almost like a bad science fiction movie, except nobody would believe it because it's right. So crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what we're heading into.
It is indeed. And Alex, of course, many of our listeners being impacted by means of what's happening with the churches right now, as churches have had their doors closed for quite some time. We have seen some pretty harsh tickets being written, citations against pastors and individuals, even sitting in their vehicle in the church parking lot. And frankly, right now, there are churches all across this nation that have said enough is enough. Most recently, now we have a network of some 3,000 churches in California said we are opening back up May 31st. They're defying the governor's orders. We've seen a lot of intense matters happening in states all across this country, though, relating to churches.
Yeah, and I think this is something that pastors need to really prayerfully consider, and elders at churches. God tells us we should obey the government, and we should. But there comes a point where the question is, do you obey God or man? And whenever you're in that kind of situation, you know, if you're a pastor, if you're an elder at a church, it shouldn't even be a question. Of course you must obey God rather than men, right? The scriptures teach us this from the beginning all the way to, until the end. You know, the Pharaoh ordered the Hebrew midwives to kill all the Hebrew baby boys, and they said no, right? Mm-hmm. They defied Pharaoh. The rulers of Babylon ordered them to, you know, bow down to the statue and quit praying. And what did they do? They continued praying, and they refused to bow down to the statue. And then, you know, the apostles, the disciples, they were ordered to quit preaching in the name of Jesus. And, you know, hey, do we obey God or men? And the answer is obvious. We need to obey God. And I think we are now at a point where we need to recognize that, we're dealing with illegitimate orders. We're dealing with illegitimate exercise of power, and that they're commanding us to do things that are contrary to Scripture. And so when that's the case, you know, I applaud these pastors in California and pastors in other parts of the country that are saying, no, you know, God tells us we need to meet, and so we're going to meet. And, you know, we'll take your recommendations into advisement. But and I think our legal system, Jim, was set up to avoid this kind of situation, right? The very First Amendment to our Constitution, right? No law respecting an establishment of religion. And there's no little asterisk there saying that, you know, if people get panicked about a virus, then suddenly we throw all this out the window. So we need to be clear that, you know, these pastors are standing on firm, on a firm foundation, biblically speaking, and also constitutionally speaking.
Matt, Alex, I'm sorry, we've got people like Matt Staver that are out there fighting on behalf of churches, Brad Dacus at Pacific Justice Institute, Alliance Defending Freedom, and others. And at the same time, we've got governors, and again, I'm going to put the word tyranny in here, we've got governors that are talking about restricting churches for, you know, another year from now.
Yep. And, I mean, Illinois is a good example. You know, maybe we'll let you guys open back up in 2021. Well, that's going to destroy a lot of churches. And, it's unconscionable to have abortions going on and to have people going to fast food restaurants. I mean, I just went to Walmart the other day. The parking lot was absolutely packed.
Right.
Inside of Walmart was absolutely packed.
Yep.
So we can do that, but we can't go to church and worship God and fellowship together as the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It makes no sense until you realize that there's something else going on here. You know, we have states that didn't do this lockdown, right? South Dakota is a good example. You have whole countries that didn't do this lockdown. Sweden is a good example. I lived there for most of the last decade, and they're wrong about almost everything, but they happen to be right on this. maybe that's because they don't have a church there to destroy anymore, at least not a very significant one. Very, very small and battered down after decades of abuse. But, I do think it's time, and I was just very encouraged. I wrote an article yesterday in the New American about Franklin Graham speaking out about some of this now. You know, he warned that Americans, you should not surrender your constitutionally protected liberties. We're going into some dark times here if we don't push back. And just last night, he was congratulating the CEO of Tesla in California, Elon Musk, who's actually defying the governor, and said, hey, I'm going to reopen my car manufacturing plant, and I'm going to go work there on the line with my guys, and if anybody gets arrested, it's going to be me. And Franklin Graham was applauding that. And so I'm just very encouraged now that leaders in the church seem to be recognizing what's going on here and finally speaking out. I mean, we should have been speaking out, I think, earlier, but better late than never.
Let's look at another aspect of this, Alex, and that has to do with, we've got judges that have freed felons from prisons, but they're snaring citizens. I mean, people who have been threatened with arrest, like entering a church parking lot, or I think of the woman who, here in Wisconsin, who was visited by two police officers because she dared to allow her child to go next door to play with a neighbor.
Yeah, and in Florida here, we actually had a pastor arrested in the Tampa area, arrested because he continued to hold church services after the local officials there said that they were shut down because of the lockdown. So, you know, this is really a new experience, I think, for America. We've never seen something like this in our entire history. You know, we've had quarantines before, but quarantines are for sick people, right?
Right.
At least for people who we suspect might be sick. And there's a timeline on it, right? Once you're not sick anymore, then you get all your freedoms back. But this is totally different. I mean, this they're talking about restricting our freedoms indefinitely. In fact, they're even grooming us now. If you ever watch the television, which I don't recommend you do, but you just see over and over again the talking heads and the politicians get ready for the new normal.
Right, right.
And, I think we need to be clear. No, we're not going to have a new normal, at least as far as the body of Christ is concerned. God gave us instructions, and you know, it's not the government's role to tell the church how to operate.
On another front, and I know we could talk the whole program on that issue, but on another front, we're going to get into personal property here, and I'd like to look at, you know, what's happening in places like Los Angeles. They've got this program called Project Room Key. Hotel rooms are used to house the homeless. Temporary housing provided for those experiencing homelessness who are not COVID-19 positive, but evidently there's been not sufficient hotels who said yes to this program. So now we've got at least one city council member saying, look, we need to commandeer rooms from hotels that don't willingly allow homeless individuals to stay. We're talking about the proposal of the takeover of private property for what the government believes is a higher good.
That's right. And, you know, and when you put this into the broader context, you see that these are all our most fundamental rights, right? It was John Adams who said the moment it's admitted into society, the idea that private property is not as sacred as the laws of God, that's when tyranny and anarchy commence. And, you know, private property is a divine command. God said, thou shalt not steal. And when you're taking somebody's property without their permission, that's the very definition of stealing. And yet we're saying, oh, no, this is an emergency, and this justifies violating, you know, something so basic, something that you teach your two-year-old, thou shalt not steal. It's very, very troubling. And then you add to that, you know, the restrictions on religious freedom, the restrictions on freedom of assembly, the restrictions on gun rights, the restrictions on free speech now. You realize that all of our most fundamental rights are in the crosshairs. And when you really start digging, you realize that in many cases, this is not actually about keeping us safe from some kind of virus. That very much appears to be a pretext, and I think there's a deliberate effort to orchestrate the hysteria for the purpose of undermining our liberties. I think we're dealing with something very, very significant here, and we need to be paying attention.
Alex Newman, our guest today. Alex, there's a lot going on related to virus tracking technology right now as well, putting people's privacy at risk. I understand some major companies are rolling out interfaces that allow for this proximity tracing.
Yep, and you know, as you know, we have a legislation that's now been introduced into Congress, H.R. 6666, that would fund these tracing programs, would send, you know, would fund bureaucrats and government agents to go to people's homes. You have the World Health Organization, one of their leading officials, speaking publicly about the alleged need to go into people's homes and take family members who they believe might be infected out of the home, right, whether that be children or parents. You know, we're talking about complete and total government authority over every aspect of our lives to the point where they think they can come into our own homes. They're talking about turning our cell phones into tracking devices that would allow the government to monitor everything every person does. I mean, this is so outrageous. Even George Orwell could not have imagined this kind of future back in his book, 1984. And, you know, we need to recognize that if we allow them to move forward with these things, it will be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to roll back the clock, get our privacy back, get our individual freedoms back. And so that's one of the reasons why it's just so important that we take this seriously and that we pay attention.
Folks, we're going to quick take a break here and come back. And we're not making this up. This really is bill number H.R. 6666, introduced in Congress. We'll have some more on this legislation right after the break, as well as some other issues pertaining to cryptocurrency and vaccinations, etc. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, were the Aborigines that were found in Australia a primitive culture?
No, they weren't, Chris. When the British got there, these people had a very intricate culture and language and art, and even their own brand of technology. For instance, Aboriginal stone knives dating from centuries ago had serrated cutting edges. These were only invented in Western culture after the Second World War. There was nothing at all primitive about these early cultures. All people descended from Noah and his family, and they were technical enough to build a huge ship. Cultures do degenerate when they adopt pagan thought, but are not primitive in any evolutionary sense, and that's the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Alex Newman, our topic, COVID-19 tyranny. And friends, as we said, we're not making this up. May 1st, 2020, legislation introduced in the House of Representatives by Congressman Bobby Rush. It's got 45 co-sponsors. It's called the COVID-19 Testing, Reaching, and Contacting Everyone Act, or the TRACE Act. And that allows to award financial grants to conduct diagnostic testing for COVID-19, to trace and monitor the contacts of infected individuals, support the quarantine of individuals. They will have contract tracing through mobile health units and, as necessary, it says right in the bill, as necessary, at individuals' residences. And folks, as Alex reported here in that last segment, believe it or not, this is bill number H.R. 6666. Alex, this is just amazing what this will do as far as the tracing and the authority that will come along with it.
It really is. And, some of this is already being rolled out in Democratic-controlled states. The state of Washington is already moving forward with plans like this. They're involving the National Guard. They're currently on a hiring spree, looking for people to work for their social services bureaucracy. And they're telling the people on the job solicitations that what they're going to be doing is monitoring and taking care of children that have been removed from the homes of their parents as a result of coronavirus. California is pursuing similar things. A lot of the big technology companies are jumping on board with this and saying, hey, we're going to help turn your cell phones into tracking devices. And the reality is, I was just reading an article about this morning. All of this lockdown, all of this techno tyranny that they're rolling out is actually not doing anything to stop or even slow the spread of the virus. They've looked at different countries, and in Europe you have Sweden that didn't do any kind of mandatory lockdown or quarantine at all. They have significantly lower rates of infection and death than some of the countries that have gone full-blown tyranny, Italy, Belgium, Spain, etc. So when you look at all this, they're justifying it as a way of controlling the virus. And yet when you do the digging, when you do the research, you see that that's not even the case. It's not actually even going to help with these things. In fact, they did a test in Stockholm, and they found out that about half of the population had already been infected, and most of them never even displayed symptoms. So, there's so much going on here, and the totalitarian measures that are being rolled out are such that, even skeptics, people who before this coronavirus said, that's just conspiracy theory stuff, that's just paranoia. I think at this point it's clear, regardless of where you sit on the political spectrum, regardless of your precise theological views, it's clear that something huge is happening, mm-hmm. that this is not normal, and that we're being deceived on a massive scale.
And there's another really alarming aspect of this legislation from my perspective, and I see this as something where the door is left wide open. Not only for the mobile health units or going into individuals' residences, but Alex, it adds four more very concerning words in this legislation. And here are those four words. It says, quote, and for other purposes. And that, to me, that leaves the door wide open for rulemakers, policymakers to determine what those other purposes are going to be.
Yeah, and that's what happens every single time, Jim. I'll give you another example that fits right along with this, with the stimulus bill. In fact, they've done it several times now. Democrats in Congress, including Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters, have tried to sneak in language creating what they're calling a digital dollar. And actually, under the original language in the legislation, these stimulus payments that were being made to Americans were going to be made in the form of digital dollars. Now, this is a new innovation. The Federal Reserve has been planning things like this for quite some time. They want to move toward a digital currency, toward a cashless society. That is their long-term objective. And it fits in perfectly with the broader agenda, which is to completely surveil and monitor everything that everyone does. And you need to think about the implications of going cashless. The Bible actually tells us about a time when the global authorities will be able to prevent you buying and selling mm-hmm. unless you take a mark. Now, as long as you have a cash system, that's functionally ridiculous, right? There's no way that you could be prevented from buying or selling, at least in the black market, if you can use cash. But if you abolish cash, suddenly it opens up this whole new world of possibilities in terms of controlling people, in terms of monitoring people. You wouldn't be able to buy anything without a permanent record being created that could be examined by government or by hackers or by criminals or by whoever. This is all very, very dangerous stuff, and we're moving toward it at breakneck speed because people are being panicked. And, you know, that takes me right back to Scripture. God said he has not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
So if you're being panicked by the media into giving up your freedoms, into accepting these solutions, you need to be in prayer and, and ask God, you know, do you really intend for me to be freaking out and paranoid? And I think the answer is obviously no.
Right. And because if you can be overwhelmed by fear, the government's able to give control and take control over you. And that aspect of being fearful allows for that control to overwhelm you in such cases. One other point on this H.R. 6666 is that there's an appropriation tied to it, Alex, $100 billion for fiscal year 2020, and that says the same amount of funds may be necessary for fiscal year 2021 and any subsequent fiscal year during which the emergency period continues. I mean, this is just an open checkbook to see that this surveillance happens.
That's right. And you know, once the numbers start getting into, you know, the billions and the hundreds of billions and the trillions, people, their eyes kind of, you know, glaze over, or they roll their eyes. But $100 billion is an enormous, enormous amount of money. I mean, that's more than the GDP of many of our smaller states combined, right? This is a huge amount of money. Imagine the kind of processes and procedures and controls and surveillance that they will be able to implement with that money. Now, fortunately, government doesn't often do things very well, so there'd be a lot of waste and abuse and incompetence. But even if only a fraction of that money goes towards surveilling and controlling citizens, we are going to be waking up into a whole new world on the other side of this coronavirus panic.
Just one further note, folks, again, this is H.R. 6666. It was introduced on May the 1st. And you can weigh in with your congressman at the congressional phone number is 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. Alex, we need to also inform our listeners of a patent received this year by Microsoft Technology Licensing. That's Bill Gates' involvement there. It's called the Cryptocurrency System Using Body Activity Data. What's this all about?
Yeah, so this is a patent, and you know, if you go to the so-called fact-checking services, they'll tell you this is mostly false, but not because the patent doesn't exist, not because it's not called WO2020060606. This is, as I understand it, a patent filed by Microsoft. It's already been filed all the way up with the World Intellectual Property Organization that would somehow connect your body processes to a cryptocurrency mining system. Now, you know, the precise mechanics of it, I don't know, but, you know, we're talking about something that would be inside of a person's body, something that would be tracking and monitoring things, and we're also talking about cryptocurrency, a sort of digital currency. Now, you know, again, the patent number is WO2020, and then you have 060606, and this is an actual patent. You can see it right on the World Intellectual Property Organization's page, and when you combine that with all the other stuff that Bill Gates is doing and financing, I'll give you another example. He funded a study at the National Institutes of Health recently into the use of luciferin and luciferase in medical applications. And he's talking, I mean, he said on virtually every talk show that he can get on that we're not going back to normal until everyone takes the vaccines. And so he's been funding the vaccine research. He's been funding the research into the ways of tracking it. They're talking about having biometric ID cards for everybody on the planet. They've developed nanotechnology that will put an invisible tattoo on your skin. I mean, you can read all about this. There's no speculation. There's no nothing in a smoking room. This was announced by MIT. I mean, Bill Gates has been openly funding this. That would put an invisible tattoo with nanotechnology on your skin that could be read by a smartphone to determine whether you've received your vaccines. When you take all of this together, it starts to paint a very, very dark picture of what's going on here. And actually, I'll be coming out with a giant investigative report on Bill Gates and some of these issues. That'll be coming out in the New American Magazine in about 1 month. The draft is already written. And we already did a kind of a sneak preview video. If people go to YouTube before it gets taken down, it's about Bill Gates and whether he's going to, quote-unquote, save you with his mandatory vaccines.
Okay, again, folks, this is, again, this patent, this is amazing. This is 2020 patent. It's WO2020/060606. Any coincidence to that? We'll let you decide that, ladies and gentlemen, but I find it very interesting. And then when you talk about this imaging technology, this Luciferase and Luciferin, it is amazing to see how all of these things are fitting together in this. Alex, one of the things you mentioned, you said, oh, we made this YouTube, and if people can see it before it's taken down, that's not just a cliche. You really mean that, because you have had video after video that's been forced down by YouTube and, well, should I say, the censors that are out there?
That's exactly right. And, you know, to their credit, at least YouTube was honest about this. The head of YouTube, the CEO of YouTube, went on CNN, you know, the fakest of all the fake news networks, according to our dear president, and announced to the world that anything on YouTube that goes against World Health Organization guidelines would be removed as a violation of their community standards. Now, you know, just to put some context around that, the World Health Organization, Bill Gates is the second largest financier after the United States. He may now be the largest since Trump has pulled the funding. But it is run by a man, by an Ethiopian by the name of Tedros Ghebreyesus. And one of the things he's famous for was serving as the right-hand man to a mass-murdering communist dictator. He was actually on the Politburo of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, which was classified by our U.S. government as a terrorist organization. It was an ethno-Marxist group. One of their goals was to exterminate the Amhara people. And he was on the Politburo, the ruling committee of this political party that joined forces with other Marxist parties to overthrow the government of Ethiopia. So, you know, for us to say that anything that goes against the recommendations of this group, which, of course, now everybody knows is just a puppet of communist China as well, is crazy. And yet we're having video after video after video being taken down because, you know, we're interviewing experts, medical professionals, people with four PhDs from MIT. They're all being taken down from YouTube because what they say goes against what the World Health Organization is recommending. This is incredible, incredible stuff.
Alex, as you were talking about vaccinations a bit ago, do you believe that the whole goal and the momentum that is being built right now is for the forced vaccinations of every citizen?
I do. I think that's one of the key objectives that they have here. And, you know, Bill Gates and the United Nations have a long track record of vaccination programs, and I get into that a little bit in the YouTube video if you want to go see it before it gets taken down. One of the examples I focus on was in Kenya. In Kenya, the World Health Organization, in partnership with UNICEF, funded by Bill Gates, were doing a so-called tetanus vaccination program. Well, the Kenya Catholic Doctors Association got vials of this vaccine from all different parts of the country. They sent them to laboratories all around the world. They found out that they were laced with a sterilizing agent that was leaving Kenyan women sterile so that they could never have another child. Then the doctors, every single Catholic bishop in Kenya said, hey guys, stop taking these vaccines. This is a sterilization program. We found out they were doing similar things in the Philippines, in Nicaragua. You know, there is a long track record of this, and I think people would be wise to do some very serious research before just accepting willy-nilly whatever Bill Gates and potentially the government tell you.
Alex Newman, our guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, go get a piece of paper, pen or pencil. I'm going to have Alex give us a website afterwards where you can see this, again, before it's pulled down, because that is the protocol that's been happening. Anything that is speaking out in opposition to the mindset of the World Health Organization, it's being pulled down. We'll be right back.
Having to prove the existence of God to an atheist is like having to prove the existence of the sun at noon on a clear day. Yet millions are embracing the foolishness of atheism. Now from Ray Comfort comes The Atheist Delusion. This 60-minute DVD pulls back the curtain and reveals what is going on in the mind of those who deny the obvious. It introduces you to a number of atheists who you'll follow as they go where the evidence leads, find a roadblock, and enter into a place of honesty that is rarely seen on film. You'll hear the compelling questions that cause them to doubt their atheism. You can obtain one copy of The Atheist Delusion for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. 9829.
COVID-19 tyranny, our topic today on Crosstalk. Alex Newman is our guest. And Alex, as we mentioned, we encourage people to have handy a sheet of paper, a pen or pencil to write down some information. And you've got a website as well as information about a special edition of The New American that's available to our listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jim, for the opportunity to speak on these. So we did a special report in The New American. Every year we do probably two or three special reports where we just focus on one issue. And we did one on coronavirus. It's called Freedom is the Cure. And I think for the first time ever, at least for the first time that I've been writing for The New American, we're making it available completely for free to anybody who wants it. So just go to thenewamerican.com, scroll down to right under the featured articles, and you'll see a banner ad there. It says Freedom is the Cure on it. Get your free copy. Just click there, and we'll send you the full special report in PDF. You can print it out. You can share it with your friends. And we hope the information will be a blessing to you. So we cover, the technology component of this, the economic component of this, the medical component of this. So all these things we've been talking about, and then a whole lot more you'll find in there. And I hope it'll be a blessing to the body of Christ, because, you know, in these wild times, we really need truthful information. And we work really hard on this. Again, that's at thenewamerican.com. And if people want to watch any of those videos that I mentioned, we've done quite a few videos now, not just on Bill Gates, but also interviewing leading medical professionals and scientists about these questions. Some of them have been taken down already, but you can still find them. If you go to YouTube, type in The New American Video, they are censoring us. I just typed it in myself. But if you look for The New American Video, you should be able to find it if you just type that into YouTube, and you'll see all the things we've done there on coronavirus.
Okay. Again, folks, the website is thenewamerican.com. And when you scroll down just after some of the main headlines there, you're going to see a banner there, kind of like a turquoise or seafoam kind of color of the banner, and it says Freedom is the Cure. Coronavirus special report. When you click on that banner, it'll bring up a screen where you can put in your name, email address, etc., and they'll send you what you're saying, Alex, a free PDF of this special edition of the magazine.
That's right. Yep. And so normally we make the print copies and the PDF copies available to subscribers, but this information is just so important. I mean, you know, our freedoms, the future of our country is hanging in the balance, that we thought, hey, you know, we've got to get this information out. And so we're very honored and happy to share it with anybody who wants it. Just go to the website and we'll send you a copy for free. So.
Freedom is the Cure is the name of the report, and you can access it through thenewamerican.com. And now, Alex, I know those who don't have internet access as such, can they also call and pay for a print edition of this? Do you know? Is that available, or is that?
Yes, we do have a print edition available as well if you don't use the internet. And you can actually just call. If you have a pen, I will give the number out. You can reach us at 1-800-727-TRUE. That's T-R-U-E. It's 1-800-727-TRUE. And you can order a copy of the print issue. If you want to order 100 or 10 to share them with your pastor and the elders at your church or your neighbors, lots of information in there. And there's even one article that I wrote on kind of the silver linings of this, too. So it's not just all doom and gloom. It's not just all facts. That, you know, there are some encouraging things that are happening. I think a lot of people are turning back to God. A lot of parents, I think, are realizing what's happening in the public schools. A lot of Americans have now woken up to the danger that communist China and in particular their government poses to us. So there are some good things. And again, you can, if you don't have the internet, if you don't use computers, you can call 1-800-727-TRUE, and you can order a physical copy that will come right to your home.
Okay, and there will be a cost for the physical copy, though, correct?
Yes, I believe it's $3 for the magazine and then a few bucks for shipping and handling. But if you order a lot, the cost goes down.
Great. So. Again, so a free digital copy is available going to thenewamerican.com, clicking on Freedom is the Cure banner, and you can get a free PDF download. If you want a physical copy of the magazine, there is a cost for that. You can call this number, 1-800-727-TRUE, T-R-U-E. Alex, something happened in our city here just within the last week. The announcement was made that there are certain roads that were once open to traffic that are no longer open to traffic because people need more room for social distancing, for walking and biking, and so therefore cars are not allowed on certain roads in the city of Milwaukee. They're experimenting in some places right now for the possibility of expanding them. And that is all part of advancing this Green New Deal, this climate agenda as well, isn't it?
It sure is, and it's interesting you mention that. I published an article in The New American on May 7th, and that's also available at thenewamerican.com about this. All the way from the top of the United Nations, all the way down to local governments around the world, Hollywood celebrities, take your pick of a power center. They are promoting this idea that, after we've burned down our economies and our societies under the guise of fighting this coronavirus, we need to rebuild in preparation for a new normal. And so they want to bring in all these green policies, which really are a repudiation of private property rights, individual liberty, economic prosperity, national sovereignty, and self-government. I mean, they want to move us toward a global technocratic system, and they're not even shy about saying it. So, I know we don't have tons of time here, but if people want more details on that, they're not, hiding in the closet anymore. They're officially coming out of the closet and telling us what they want. The head of the UN, Antonio Guterres, who was actually the leader of the Socialist International before taking over the UN, the world's largest alliance of socialist and communist and Marxist political parties, hundreds of parties around the world. They control many of the governments around the world, and many of their members have the blood of millions of innocent people on their hands. And he just put an op-ed in the New York Times saying that we're going to address coronavirus and climate change at the same time. We've got to do, all these new policies. We've got to rebuild a green economy. They are talking about enormous changes to our economies, to our societies, to our lives, and frankly, they don't care whether we like this idea or not. They don't expect to get our consent, and they don't want it. They don't care. They're just going to move ahead with it anyway if we allow them to do that. So,
friends, information you're learning today here on Crosstalk, can we encourage you to share it with others? Within just a couple hours from now, a link to this program is going to be on our website, crosstalkamerica.com. You can take that link, you can send it off to others for them to listen to this program today, crosstalkamerica.com. If you need a physical CD of this program, you can contact our switchboard. We make CDs available for the cost of duplication, the materials, the shipping to you. They're available for donation of $6, and you can call our switchboard at 800-729-9829, 1-800-729-9829, and a request a CD of today's program to share with others. But again, within just a couple hours from now, it will be up free on our website to listen. You can hear it at the link, and click on the link and listen to it again at crosstalkamerica.com. I'd like to open our phone lines today to give you opportunity to speak with Alex Newman. Our phone number is 800-733-9829. Time is brief. We don't have time for long speeches. If you've got a quick question, a brief comment, 800-733-9829. Alex, how is Anthony Fauci connected to all of these things?
Yeah, I think Anthony Fauci is somebody that Congress and the American people ought to be scrutinizing much, much more closely. He is very closely connected with Bill Gates. He's very closely connected with a lot of the special interests that are benefiting from this, including some of the pharmaceutical companies. And frankly, his policy proposals, he was just testifying before the Senate today, some of his policy proposals, not only are they unconstitutional, they're downright Orwellian and totalitarian. So I think there needs to be a whole lot more scrutiny on him. I think as you peel back the layers of the onion, what you're going to find is that this is not a man who should be controlling and micromanaging the lives of 330 million Americans. Frankly, I think that's got to stop. And it doesn't take a whole lot of digging to find out that there's a lot of important issues that are not being discussed surrounding Dr. Fauci, surrounding the entire government pharmaceutical medical complex in the United States. And these things really need to be discussed.
Let's go to Bill in Blue River, Wisconsin. Bill, you're on the air.
Yes, very interesting topic, gentlemen. I would just wonder if Alex was any information on getting into Bitcoin. Would that be a way around this digital currency that we face? And I'll gladly take his comment off the air.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, Bitcoin is an interesting thing. I don't like to give financial advice. I used to own some Bitcoin and I got burned, so I'm always hesitant. But I'm hoping that as the establishment tries to tighten the screws on privacy, tries to move us toward a cashless society, that very smart technology people will develop alternatives. I do think Bitcoin is interesting. I don't tell people to invest in it or to not invest in it, but it's certainly something that's worth looking at. And if you look at what happened in Venezuela, Bitcoin was one of the tools that enabled the victims of Maduro's tyranny down there to protect part of their savings, part of their wealth, to get it out of the country if necessary. And so, I do think people ought to take a look at it, but, do your research first. There's some big things happening in that space, and I think it's good to be very informed on them before making any big decisions.
Melinda's our next caller. Hi, Melinda, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I was wondering, have you all heard of the website, the People's Bailout? And I'll just take your comment off there. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You familiar with that, Alex?
Unfortunately, I'm not. Thank you for the call, though.
Mark is next. You're on the air, Mark.
Okay. My comment is because the U.S. is an obstruction to globalism, I think we've been preconditioned by the Obama administration as far as transforming America. So I think we're seeing the fruition of all this by instilling the tyranny and the fear of all this that is really affecting our psyche. So I think we're just seeing the effect of it by what's taking place now.
Thank you, Mark. Any response, Alex?
Yeah, I think the Obama administration did play a very important role in paving the way for this situation that we're dealing with now. I think it goes back long before Barack Obama was on the scene. But, he was a key player in facilitating this. A lot of the bureaucracies, including up to the cabinet agencies, are just completely filled with people that the Obama administration put into place. And this is true across the entire federal government. I mean, the numbers are very clear. The overwhelming majority of the federal bureaucracies and the people working in the federal bureaucracies are as anti-Trump as can be. And that's an important issue. So,
well, thank you for the call, Mark. Wasn't it Bush 41, Alex, that envisioned this new world order?
That's right. He's the one who made the announcement publicly on national television and then later on the floor of Congress, telling us that we were going to have a new world order where a credible United Nations was going to use its peacekeeping role, also known as its military forces, to bring about the world envisioned by the UN founders, which, I talk about them all the time. We had Stalin on one side, and then we sent Alger Hiss, who we later proved was an agent of Stalin. So not a good idea. But, this has been a bipartisan problem, unfortunately, for quite some time.
David is calling next. You're on the air, David.
Hi. I sit here, and it's almost like we're watching a dream, a bad dream, unfold in this country, and it just blows my mind. My big concern is the fact that there have been several powerful videos regarding exposing the coronavirus, and they've all been being pulled by YouTube. And what I foresee happening is most churches now have their church services out on the web, and it is the World Wide Web, which is all part of the world system. How long before messages and churches are going to have their messages scrubbed and obliterated off the internet? I mean, it's only a matter of time. This is going to happen. And I just think so many of the churches have relied only on the technology to get the message out. And I think God is just trying to get a hold of the average church person out there and saying,
David,
hey,
thanks so much, David. We'll comment on that after the break. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com, where the video is going viral, and it's a Special Forces veteran and now police officer out of the Seattle, Washington area. He's warning his fellow law enforcement friends they need to honor the Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution. He did a video and has been seen by tens of thousands, and Well, now he's on administrative leave and likely to be fired. They were seeking on a GoFundMe page to raise $50,000 for him. Last time I checked, they'd raised $240,000 already. The American people are funding people that are standing up for truth and liberty, whether it's a hairdresser out of Texas or this police officer out of Washington State. The American people are voting by financially supporting their GoFundMe pages. Because why? They appreciate their stand for the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the rule of law against would-be tyrants. The American people are watching, and the elected officials need to start becoming afraid of the American people and their right to defend their liberties.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman, our guest here today. Our topic is COVID-19 tyranny. And Alex, the individual just before the break was talking about, hey, we're putting everything up on YouTube and social media, but isn't this the social media that's taking down anything that's contrary to what the World Health Organization is talking about?
That's exactly right. And I'm so thankful to the caller. Thank you for calling in. Unfortunately, it's not something that's coming. It's something that has already started. And I wrote about this issue on April 17th. My article is posted at thenewamerican.com. It's called Amid COVID-19, Deep State Moves in for the Kill Against Churches. And I actually address a lot of issues, but one of the key ones is the fact that churches all across the country were forcibly shut down by the government, and they were told, oh, that's okay, just do your services online, just stream it through YouTube or Facebook or whatever. And we already have specific examples where the giant technology companies have taken down church apps and church services for violating their standards and things like that. One of the examples that we include is a church. It's called Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho. Google, which is, of course, owned by the same company as YouTube, took down their app from its app store, making it completely inaccessible to the public. And they said that their excuse was that it doesn't display reasonable sensitivity towards this natural disaster, atrocity, conflict, death, or other tragic event. I've got a good friend from Brazil, an evangelist by the name of Julio Severo, and some years ago he posted a Bible verse on Facebook. Nothing but a Bible verse, no commentary, no images, nothing, just a Bible verse addressing the issue of homosexuality. And Facebook removed it and put him in Facebook jail and told him that was a violation of its terms. So, thank you to the caller for bringing that issue out. Very, very prescient. That is what we're going to be dealing with in the days ahead. Our churches are ordered closed. They said, oh, you can just do it online. Well, pretty soon here, Google and Facebook and YouTube and Microsoft will be deciding whose sermons we can listen to. And beyond that, it's going to cause pastors to censor themselves because they don't want their channel removed. Right. They don't want their account shut down. Very, very troubling.
Oh, I just can't preach on Romans 1 this week. Sorry about that, folks. and just moments ago, I received a text from Brennan House at worldviewweekend.com. And Alex, here it is at mynorthwest.com. New guidelines released by Governor Jay Inslee will require, this is Washington State, will require, this was written at 9:41 a.m. this morning, will require restaurants resuming dine-in service to compile a daily log of all customers that keeps track of phone numbers and emails. Now, I'm going to couple this with what happened just a week ago in Kansas City, Missouri, where the mayor of Kansas City was ordering churches to keep a log of anybody. It was a 10-10-10 rule. Anybody that came into their church for greater than 10 minutes that the church was to track that, have the name of the individual, their address, their phone number, and if requested by the government, would have to turn that over. They said, we'll keep it confidential, but churches were to do this. Of course, Liberty Council got involved, and next thing we know, we've got the mayor rescinding that. But now in Washington State, new guidelines by Governor Inslee requiring restaurants resuming dine-in to compile a daily log of all customers that keep track of phone numbers and emails. Your response?
Yeah, and we're seeing stuff like that all over the country. In my article that I mentioned, Amid COVID-19, Deep State Moves in for the Kill Against Churches, I talked about Kentucky. The far-left governor there, Andy Beshear, actually ordered the state police to go to churches and write down the license plate numbers of the people who were at the church. This is, again, unprecedented in America. This is the kind of stuff that, would be maybe normal in the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany, but it's something that even a few years ago, if I had told you something like this was coming, you would have laughed. You would have said, that's crazy. That'll never happen in America. Well, folks, guess what? It's here yeah. now.
Zoe is calling from Champaign, Illinois. Zoe, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Well, I had another thing. I have two things real quick. I know that Alex is familiar with the Rockefeller Foundation, the lockstep program. If you look that up. And the other thing I wanted to ask is, are you familiar with Dr. Judy Mikovits's book, A Plague of Corruption?
Okay. Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you so much for calling, Zoe. And yes, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, there are a number of very, very troubling events and scenarios and reports that came out before this coronavirus that I think we all need to be scrutinizing very closely. One of them is a report that was put out by the Rockefeller Foundation in 2010 called The Future of Technology and International Development. It's one of those, you know, innocuous sounding reports that nobody would read because it's got a boring title. And, you know, the purpose of the report, as it explains, is to talk about, you know, different ways that we could move toward this world order that they're so desperate to build. And they have four hypothetical scenarios in there. One of them is called lockstep. And as you read it, remember, this was 10 years ago, as you read it, you would think you're reading the news today. It talks about a virus, came out of China, the communist Chinese authorities did a great job by basically brutalizing everyone and using total tyranny to stop it. Meanwhile, those silly Americans with all their freedom, you know, it didn't work well for them and they all got sick. And it talks about how the citizens are going to beg for more government control to protect them from the virus and how we're going to move toward national and international biometric IDs and the government's going to have to take more control over the economy. A lot of these changes are going to be permanent. You know, either these guys have a crystal ball and, you know, they're looking into the future or there's something else going on. And I would submit that there's something else going on. More recently, in October of last year, Bill Gates funded an exercise at the Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins University. The World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum were also involved, called Event 201, where they imagined a coronavirus coming out of China, and they said, all right, so what do we do about this? And as you watch it, remember, this is a hypothetical scenario where they're just kind of preparing. And you'll see they're talking about the exact same things that they're imposing on us right now, very much including the totalitarian Orwellian censorship from the social media. They have multiple people there talking about what a danger it is, that there's misinformation from people sharing. And so they talk about the importance of shutting down all this free speech on social media. I am familiar with Dr. Mikovits's book. I have not read it completely, and so I'll withhold making a comment. But the fact that YouTube is so desperate, and Facebook and Twitter and Google are so desperate to silence her and make her disappear, suggests to me that we probably ought to be looking at what she has to say.
You know, we're going to have to leave it there. I apologize to callers online here. We've got we've run out of time. Alex Newman, our guest here today. You can go to thenewamerican.com, click on Freedom is the Cure to get that free download of The New American, the special edition. That's thenewamerican.com, or call them for you'd have to pay for the print edition, 800-727-TRUE. Again, if you'd like to get a copy of today's Crosstalk, you may call our switchboard here, 800-729-9829. Alex, thank you for your research and your diligence and the keeping our listeners informed on these critical issues.
Thank you so much, Jim, and God bless you.
And folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.